You see, it takes more than belief. It takes more than faith to really please God. He says it takes faith that results in loving others. Religion without love doesn't matter. It's not enough to say, I believe. What matters is how I love God and how I love other people. That's the great commandment.
That's author Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Church out in California. It takes more than faith to really please God. It takes faith which results in love. Now, where have I heard that before? When I first heard Rick Warren utter those words, I thought to myself, we are now standing a full 15 centuries distant from the Protestant Reformation. And Rick Warren stands, at least in the eyes of the media and many Christians, as the representative par excellence of Protestant Christianity, evangelical Christianity. And 15 centuries after the Protestant Reformation, we have him saying something like, it takes more than faith to really please God. It takes faith that results in love. What really matters is your commandment keeping. Wow. We're going to be talking about faith alone. It's part of our series on the solas of the Reformation. Well, which is it, faith alone or faith plus love? Dr. Rod Rosenblatt is our guest. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-MY-IE. 877-623-MY-IE. Email us here in the studio. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, the 23rd of September. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt is professor of systematic theology and Christian apologetics at Concordia University in Irvine, California, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, and author of the booklet Christ Alone. Rod, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be here.
Your response to Rick Warren when he says it takes more than faith to really please God, it takes faith that results in love.
A Southern Baptist Roman Catholic, a Tridentine Southern Baptist. The distance never was that great. The Roman Church of the Reformation era said, faith formed by love saves. And if our listeners want a great exposition of that, it's in a now reprinted book on the theology of Luther by Philip Watson entitled Let God Be God. Fortress, like idiots, dumped it, and Wiffenstock picked it up. Watson, Let God Be God, and he eviscerates that position, and he's a Methodist.
You said a Tridentine Baptist, a Tridentine, a reference to the Council of Trent, which was the Roman Church's answer to Luther and faith alone. What did the Roman Church say then?
Well, basically, in the Council of Trent, they said just what Rick Warren said, faith alone doesn't save. Was Rick expositing James chapter 2 by any chance?
I have no idea. It's been so long since he said it, but he definitely said it.
Yeah. Absolutely wonderful illustration of what Paul goes up against.
When we say faith alone, the first objection that we have to respond is the one that Luther got even as he was penning much of the documentation for the Reformation. Among his works, of course, his German translation of the Bible, where he did, and admitted freely to doing so, inserted the word alone into Romans 3:28. How did he respond to those who say, you shouldn't put alone in there?
He said, do they think I'm not a translator? It's the sense of the argument. It captures what Paul is arguing. I'm a translator. That's what translates it well. And, of course, the charge was, you put something in the Holy Scripture that isn't there. And he wrote an answer back, I'll tell you what interpreters do and don't do. This is what we do. Translators do. That's what the text demands. It gets the sense of it, so it's there.
So when Paul says, by faith apart from works, was Paul in fact saying, not in so many words, but in fact saying, faith alone?
Of course. Of course. It's like a parallel to that one we talked about the other day in Romans 11, if by this, then not by that. That's the sense of the passage. In the Romans 11 passage, if by grace, then not by works. And it's the same sort of argument here. If by faith alone, then not by faith plus works.
Okay, so explain this to me, Rod. If a Roman Catholic priest, decked out in his robes, standing in a pulpit or standing at his high altar with candles in the background, said what Rick Warren said. It takes more than faith to really please God. It takes faith that is results in love. Most would say, well, that's Roman Catholic theology. So why don't people recognize the very same error from a preacher in a Hawaiian t-shirt walking back and forth on a stage?
Got me, but some of our listeners on the White Horse Inn finally get it. It takes a while. They say, my gosh, when we answered the hard questions as an evangelical, we answered them the same way Rome did. We had no idea. That takes a while.
Why is faith alone among all of the alones of the Reformation, grace, Christ, Scripture, and faith? Why is it the one that kind of has become the banner, the poster boy for Luther's position, his interpretation of Holy Scripture?
Well, first of all, what it isn't. I think we talked a little bit about this the other day. What it isn't, according to Luther, or according to Paul, what it isn't is some quality that dwells in us such that God looks there and sees this quality in us and says, ah, that's what I was looking for. Rather, the way the word is used in St. Paul, it's a way of saying, I have quit trusting my virtue with regard to God and judgment at the end. My virtue won't count for nothing. What I've given up on is that, and what I have learned from St. Paul that takes its place, thank God, is Jesus and his dying and his blood. Faith alone is another way of saying just Jesus' cross, just Jesus' blood, just Jesus' sufferings, just Jesus' death saves.
I think you said that about grace alone, too. The grace alone was just another way of saying Christ alone.
Sure. They are linked, these are. And they're all centered in Christ, particularly in his dying.
Okay, you said faith is as much giving up on one's self and one's reliance on one's own merits or strength or a virtue as it is, of course, then laying fast hold of Christ's life, merits, virtue,
right,
and all of those things. Someone says, well, you know, the problem with faith is it's just head knowledge. There has to be something else, a stirring in the bosom, good works that result. Does Paul present faith as mere knowledge?
No, he doesn't, but he is going to present it as enough. The old guys, when they were asked to sort of lay this down on a chalkboard, said there are three aspects to the faith that saves. Bible uses faith in a lot of ways. They were just interested in saving faith. And they said the base of it is the facts, the Latin notitia. The needed, required foundation is the facts, primarily the facts that have to do with Jesus last week, what's summed up in the creeds. Those are the beginning foundation, and they are absolutely necessary. You can't have saving faith without it. Then they said, but that's not enough. On that, you build, or is next logically asserted, assent. That is, you have to be able to believe that certain things happened. They're mostly historical, that they actually took place. A person has to be able to say the Apostles' Creed without crossing his fingers behind his back as he says it. I think there was such a person. I think he lived about this time. I think he got into trouble with the Jewish authorities. Basically, the story that's recorded in the last third of every one of the Gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then, based on that, what you talked about earlier, that is, based on that, you say, all I've got is his blood and death. I don't have anything else toward justification or toward God or toward the judgment. I'm bankrupt. But what I am given and promised by the Scriptures is Christ's merits reckoned to my account. So all I've got going to the judgment with regard to me and God, all I've got is Jesus dying for me. That's it. That's what sola fide means.
The words, Luther was really keen on the words, for you. Where does that play into this notion? We've got about a minute before this break, at least time to begin a response. Where do the words for you play into this notion of faith alone?
Well, when you talk about notitia, that's just saying, this is what happened, and I agree. I've done my research, and I can see that's what happened. Assent says that I assent to these things. Luther said, though, the key comes when you see that it was all done for your good, or in your place, or for your salvation, or that you would be justified. The pro me, the Latin pro me, or for you, Luther considered conversion.
We're talking with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, our subject today, Faith Alone, part of our series on the solas of the Reformation. You got a question or a comment? I'm sure you do. Give us a call. We're coming to you live this Tuesday. It's the 23rd of September. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. When we come back, people talk about blind faith. Doesn't sound like what Jesus describes, what Paul is describing, what Luther describes, what Rosenblatt is describing is anything like blind faith. We'll discuss that after this.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Science lessons, they're needed in the church.
Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the anti-racism book, Darwin's Plantation, Evolution's Racist Roots.
You know, I agree with many Christians who say that the church has to rethink how it's to effectively reach the culture. We generally do a good job of preaching and teaching what the Bible says about morality, for example, but increasingly, the world's not listening. Why is that? I believe that the church has largely forgotten to apply 1 Peter 3:15. You see, Christians need to give answers. They need to be able to defend their faith when it's under attack. And where's the Bible under attack today? Well, by secular science. You see, the church can't just teach Bible stories. Christians have to show that there are reasonable answers to the attacks people hear constantly about the Bible at their school or job. For example, we often hear how fossils and other evidence of science supposedly disproves the history in the Bible. It's time the church started teaching the answers to science questions, not just to spiritual and moral questions, so people can defend their faith and proclaim the Bible with authority.
Indeed, the Bible is authoritative in every area that it touches, from history to science. That's one of the themes of a book co-authored by Ken Ham called War of the Worldviews. We'll send it to you after your gift of any amount as we close out this week. Call us toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS or go to the web, answersoffer.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking faith alone. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, professor of systematic theology and Christian apologetics at Concordia University, Irvine, California, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn and author of the booklet Christ Alone, is our guest. You can join us 1-877-623-MYIE or email us talkback at issuesetc.org. Dr. Rosenblatt, we hear things like blind faith, leap of faith, these notions that are supposed to say something about this, we walk by faith and not by sight, things unseen. But it strikes me they don't quite get at what Paul is talking about when he talks about faith alone.
No, really, you take a look in the book of Acts, and consistently when he came into a city, he would head for the synagogue, And when he got there, he would argue there with the authorities that Jesus was the promised Christ of Israel, and they would throw him out. And he would say, well, it had to go to you first, but so long as you throw me out, I go to the Gentiles. He was arguing with them that Jesus was the promised Christ, certainly from the Old Testament texts. So that was hardly blind. When he gives that magnificent address on Mars Hill in Acts 17, he can't start with Moses. They've never heard of Moses. They're pagans. They're Gentiles. So he starts with the heavens above and the God who gives them seasons and harvests and wine and gladness of heart. And he works from there to that he has appointed a day by which he will judge the world. And of this we know because he has appointed his son as the one who will do this. And we know that this is true because he raised him from the dead. So he was arguing clickety, 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 according to his audience. Not blind at all.
Okay, then there are a couple of things that we need to clear away, because we have talked a bit here about what it is and what it isn't. There's still some more of what it isn't. There's a belief called fideism, or
yes,
faith in faith. And you hear Christians say this a lot, like, well, I have faith. What do you believe? Well, I believe that I believe. Why are you going to heaven? Because I believe. What's
right.
wrong with fideism?
Well, it's circular to begin with. You know, part of it's in the realm of logic. And some of them will even proudly say, of course it is. That's why I love it. The way that it's talked about in the New Testament is what I described earlier, starting with the facts, then working to assent that those facts are true, and from there to trusting Christ's death instead of any kind of virtue I think I've got in me. That examination of the facts, already the fideist says, well, that doesn't really count because the non-Christian can't make any sense of those. Really? That isn't the way Paul operated. He operated as if they were in the same world, and he could argue with them from that common ground that history says that the evidence is good, that the promised one was the eternal word. That's not Paul's language, but it's the same argument. So that Christians ought never be found saying just that Christian faith is blind. The world already believes that, and they believe it of every religion, a lot of them. Christian faith is not blind. It isn't a leap in the dark. With all due respect to Kierkegaard, whom you'll meet in heaven, he was confused about epistemology. Christian faith is a reasoned response to the evidence that's been given to us. The only thing is that you don't get any credit for it. Once you're in and somebody walks you through the Bible, you say, my gosh, all of that was given to me. My brain to operate with it, the evidence that was given by God to me as his gift, the Messiah who was the center of what the evidence was about, all of it, from beginning to end, he gave, didn't he? And the pastor's answer, yes, he did.
You said last week when we were talking about grace alone that God reaches out, takes our hands out of our pockets, opens our fingers, puts the free gift of salvation and of faith itself in our hand, closes our fingers around it, puts our hands back in our pockets and says, there.
Uh-huh.
So let's put, that's a great metaphor. Our listeners loved it, and it says a lot, but let's put it in terms of how God gives us faith, faith itself as a gift.
Well, what we find in the Bible is that the way he gives, this is Romans 10, the way he gives it is by the preaching of the gospel. That the preaching of that message creates faith in Jesus in the human heart. That is, if somebody is saying, I wish I could believe, but I can't, about Christ, my first recommendation is go somewhere where the gospel is clearly preached. Because that's what God says in Romans 10 is the means by which faith is created, faith in Jesus is created in the heart. The listening to that proclaimed well.
So faith comes by hearing, And many would agree. They'd say, yes, that's exactly how faith comes by hearing. And then they'd say, but it's sustained or it's maintained by your progress in Christian sanctification, by your increase in good works. That's how you really strengthen that faith that was begun by mere preaching of Christ and Him crucified. Your response?
Yeah, well, I'd recommend C.F.W. Walters on the proper distinction between law and gospel here, because boy, does he in some places get the pressure that the Wesleyan and the evangelical are under to try and maintain, or Chuck Smith's is abide, or whatever you want to put in there. And you find out by reading that the one who's doing the holding is not we. The one who's doing the holding is God, John 10. And this takes us, having a pastor lead us into the scriptures, that the promises that sound just too good to be true actually are true. That is, it may look like from our side of the fence that we're doing all this stuff, but under acquaintance with the key passages of scripture, a person makes the eureka discovery, my gosh, that was given to me too, wasn't it, Pastor? Answer, yeah, it was.
Is this
from heaven itself.
Is this what Paul is saying in the famous Ephesians 2:8-9 passage, where he says, by grace you are saved through faith, apart from works, and this itself is a gift, lest any man should boast?
Right. Right. If that primarily only referred to grace, it'd be what logicians call a tautology. That is, it'd be saying the same thing again. But if, and this, not of yourselves, refers to faith in Christ, then it's a whole different ballgame. Now, the Greek scholars will tell you that it refers to both. But at least it's got to refer to faith, or it's not information delivered to us at all. It's just the same thing said twice. If it says, and that not of yourselves, and that refers to faith in Jesus, then the whole thing was gift, even your believing.
So the way that God brings us to faith is the same, precisely the same way He sustains us in the faith?
Yeah, surprisingly. That is, the old Adam in us doesn't keep believing this. The great old sermon illustration was the guy who said to his wife, I told you in 1969 that I loved you. If it ever changes, I'll let you know. And she wants to hear every day that he loves her. This really is us putting ourselves in the position where God doesn't just say, I love you, but he says it in the concrete. My son, this cross, this blood for you. Here, drink the forgiveness of sins. Here, eat the forgiveness of sins. Here, let me pour water on you for the forgiveness of sins. And to be in that all the time.
And even to the very end of one's life, it is it solely God's word, that word of promise, sustains this faith?
That's according to the Bible it is. Absolutely. Now, if he throws in works that you usually, if they're genuine, you and I don't even know we did them. That's that parable at the end of the people who did all those things and didn't even know they did them. But if he throws those things in, praise God. Don't expect to be taking credit or getting a bigger crown or a bigger mansion than the guy next to you. Forget all that. Just concentrate on how great it is that he saved you and that you didn't deserve it.
It's been said, and this has been very helpful to me, faith is as strong as its object.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, it isn't the intensity of faith, at least not in Christianity. It's not the intensity of faith that saves. It's the greatness of the one on whom it links itself, or whom it takes as its object. That is, my faith is weak and awful, but it grasps a mighty Christ, a saving Christ, a one-sidedly saving Christ. The emphasis is on the syllable of the object grasped, not on the strength of my hand. I sometimes in class use the illustration, suppose you're on a cruise between Honolulu and San Francisco, and halfway there, the boat sinks. And somebody, or you get thrown overboard, and somebody throws you a life ring, and they pull you in. Wouldn't it be bizarre for you first thing to say, look at that hand. I love that hand. That is the strongest hand. Did you see how I gripped that ring? What a hand. Bizarre. You'd say, where is the guy who threw me that ring? I want to thank him.
Let's take a break right here. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt is our guest. What kind of questions or comments do you have on Faith Alone? Call during this break. We'll have 10 minutes with Dr. Rosenblatt on the other side of the break. 1-877-623-MY-IE. 877-623-MY-IE. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens to unborn babies in a partial birth abortion is shocking. Each year, thousands of partial birth abortions are performed in the fifth or sixth month of pregnancy or even later on healthy babies of healthy mothers. One federal judge called partial birth abortion gruesome and barbaric. Yet in spite of overwhelming public support for a ban on this brutal procedure, the Supreme Court ruled that Roe v. Wade not only allows but protects this painful procedure. This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life. For more information, visit our website, www.nrlc.org.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
And I was saved, yeah. That's why I'm keeping the faith. Yeah, 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 keeping the faith.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. By the way, folks, we got some great resources on the solas of the Reformation posted on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, including two articles written by our guest, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. Go there tonight, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. You'll not only find this interview there on demand for you to listen to anytime you want to. We love our on-demand listeners, but we also post along with the interview the resources on the subject, two articles, including two articles written by Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. I want to come back to this faith as strong as its object. And you were using the illustration before the break of the man who is saved because someone tosses him a life preserver. He would immediately say, who threw that? Let me thank him.
Yep.
And not focus on his own ability to grasp the life preserver.
Yep.
I guess all analogies will fail at some point. But is even the grasping, who's grasping who when we talk about faith alone?
Yeah, finally, we'll find out. As a pastor leads us through the Bible, we were the graspees, not the grasper. That takes some reading, but, you know, it's over and over and over again that we are the recipients, or we are the ones whom he chased down and brought to Christ. No matter how you slice this salami, Lutherans will insist it's a no-credit system.
Okay, there's another sense in which faith is used, and it's related to what we've been talking about here, and that is the faith, that is the faith which is believed, rather than what we've been discussing here, which is the faith that believes. The faith that is believed. Someone, we always want to do the minimalist game on this thing, Dr. Rosenblatt. Yeah. We always want to say, okay, what's the bare minimum a person has to know or believe or trust in order to be saved? I understand that impulse, but is that the way Scripture delivers the faith to us as a bare minimum?
No, it really isn't. Now, when you find the preaching in the book of Acts, many times that was, other than Acts 17, many times that was to people who had a pretty good knowledge of the Old Testament and they could operate from it. The tendency in our era is to have people who don't know much of anything about the Bible and then to be able to learn to encourage that they learn enough to write down on a postage stamp. That's why it's a shock sometimes that people read that other creed, the third one, the Athanasian, falsely named after Athanasius, and all the things that must be believed in order to be saved, things having to do with the Trinity and the individual persons of the Trinity. And so, and for many, it's like somebody throwing a bucket of cold water on them to say, good grief, never heard any of that stuff. Well, actually, in the Bible, this is a pretty full-blown thing. A totally uneducated person can easily be saved by simply turning away from any idea of merit or virtue that they've got, seeing it for what it is, and instead trusting Christ's death, blood, and cross to save them. But there's all kinds of room in Christianity for a full-blown, knowledgeable acquaintance with a lot of details that that have to do with the faith, the what is to be believed. Start with the creeds.
Joe is listening in his car. Joe, thank you for being so patient. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. You're talking about faith alone. I've heard some people say that it's unbelief that sends us to hell. It's our lack of faith that sends us to hell, and I've struggled with that because I would also think that my sinful nature and my actual sins would play a part in that too. But can you look at the converse of that and say that it is lack of faith alone in a sense that sends you to hell? And I would wonder if that ties in with objective justification in the sense that the gospel is the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins to a sinner, and the Holy Spirit through that proclamation works faith to grasp that and make it subjective.
Joe, thank you very much. Your response, Dr. Rosenblatt.
Yeah, that's a pretty detailed question, pretty astute. The Lutherans insisted, and used a lot of verses to do this, that there was really only one thing that you could do that would keep you out of heaven, and that was to reject God and God's answer given to your problem. Christ has died for our sin, for the condition of it, and for the acts of sin that have filled our lives. Those were died for, and that is not the grounds, that's the primary grounds Reformation people should think of in terms of their somebody's condemnation. It's the rejection of the free gift of that work of his on the cross that the old Lutherans said was the critical juncture. We forget how easy unbelief is. Luther used to say, do you really believe that this is easy to believe? Are you crazy? Do you think that faith is a simple thing for it to continue? It's counterintuitive to believe that somebody else had to die for me and to keep believing that the only basis I've got toward God in the judgment is somebody else's righteousness. He said, Luther said, that takes the continual preaching of the gospel or we all lose track of it. We go into unbelief.
Jim is in Evansville, Indiana. We'll let his question be the last one, and it'll have to be a brief response. He says, I work with a Reformed Baptist friend who's a big fan of the White Horse Inn. I mentioned that Dr. Rosenblatt was on Issues, Etc. this week discussing the four solas. He corrected me, saying that there were actually five solas. He added Soli Deo Gloria, that is, to God alone be glory. Would that fall into one of the four that you're discussing, or is it a slash? Is it a quote unquote reformed sovereignty of God thing? How is it different, if at all? To God alone be glory.
Oh, I don't know if I'm really competent to answer that. Bless their hearts. I know that Bach put on every piece of Christ-honoring music that he wrote at the bottom of it, SDG. And I sort of think of it that way. That setting of the whole theological thing underneath sovereignty, I think, is a mistake. And that's one of the reasons I'm not a Calvinist. But still, when somebody is saved, it's God, the sovereign God, who gives them faith in Christ. And we get no credit for it at all. Now, that will never satisfy a Calvinist, ever. But I'm trying to say how I can be on board and not do something that's intellectually dishonest. God is sovereign in saving a sinner.
Rob, Thursday we're going to conclude our series on the solas of the Reformation. So on Thursday we'll discuss Scripture alone. Just give us a 30-second taste of what we'll be discussing under Scripture alone Thursday.
Very important subject, 20th century. It was the subject, but nobody will acknowledge it. It was the subject of the century in evangelical Christianity, and they did some wonderful work on it. And there's some arguments for it that are really good ones, and there's some arguments for it that aren't so hot. We'll try to do an argument that's a good one.
Look forward to it on Thursday. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt is professor of systematic theology and Christian apologetics at Concordia University, Irvine, California, co-host of the radio program The White Horse Inn, and author of the booklet Christ Alone. Thank you very much for being our guest, Rod.
My pleasure.
Folks, when you go on the web tonight, I know you will, check out the great resources that we have on the Reformation solas on our on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Look under On Demand. You'll not only find this show posted for your on-demand listening, you'll find these resources associated with our conversation with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt on the solas of the Reformation. Tomorrow, the economic crisis, a family-friendly economy. I think the economy is going to get really unfriendly to families really, really fast, and it's all happening at the highest levels of finance. We'll try and make some sense of this in terms of your family, your mortgage, your house, all of those things, a family-friendly economy, with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse tomorrow on Issues, Etc. Well, we have this little tagline on this program that you'll hear as we're going into breaks. It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You know, Rick Warren began his famous book, The Purpose-Driven Life, saying it's not about you, and then he spent about 300 pages talking about you, what you do, what you're supposed to do to please God. When we say it's not about you, we need to add it's about Jesus for you. It's about his life lived for you, his life laid down for you, his blood shed for you, his sacrifice for you, his death for you, and his resurrection for you. It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. If you only go so far as to say it's not about me, but you don't say what it is about, that is Jesus for you, you're going to substitute something else for Jesus. And then you're going to have a faith that isn't founded upon the saving work of Jesus, but inevitably upon your own works. You know, Rick Warren can say it's not about you and then talk about you for 300 pages. He's also the same guy who says it takes more than faith to really please God. It takes faith that results in love. Guess what? The only thing it takes to please God is Jesus. That's it. Not your works, not even the earnestness of your faith. The only thing it takes to please God for a world of sinners. Please him so that he cannot be any more pleased with you than he already is for Christ's sake. The only thing that it takes to please God is Jesus. Jesus for you. Jesus living for you, suffering for you, dying on the cross, dead for you, and alive again forever for you. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org.
Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.